And with the familiar tones of AC/DC, you and I begin another episode of Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. It is Sunday. It is November 2nd, and we come to you coast to coast, from the North Pole to the South Pole, from the beaches to the sticks, every single day on WrestlingObserver.com, the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, of course. Shout out to Bailey and producer Dom, as always. All of our over-the-air affiliates, AM and FM. Kids, if you don't know what that means, ask your parents. iHeart, TuneIn, all kinds of other apps. Everywhere you can get a signal in this fine world, you can hear my voice. And I give thanks to that. Possibly on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Search Wrestling Observer on those platforms and find us. Special shout out to those listening, of course, in the American Forces Network. We thank you for your service each and every day. I'm filling it for Andrew Zarian once again on assignment. So I'm going to be with you for the next hour. A lot to talk about per usual. Saturday, we had two shows going to head-to-head for an hour. WWE Saturday Night's main event on Peacock and Netflix outside the U.S. And, of course, we had AEW Collision, two different types of shows. Did cross over for an hour, a little bit earlier start time for Saturday Night's main event. We have two new champions coming out of that show, of course. CM Punk is your new World Heavyweight Champion. Jade Cargill is your new WWE Women's Champion. How'd those come about? What do we think about the show itself? Cody Rhodes, I almost said Cody McIntyre. Cody Rhodes, still your WWE Champion. A picture that broke wrestling Twitter coming out after the show. We'll chat about that and all the conjecture. And AEW Collision had a very fun main event and some developments for Blood and Guts coming up in just a few weeks. And as AEW prepares for what they hope is another big November. And we're going to kick all that off in just a few minutes. That and a lot more to talk about. And a special interview coming up with a TV star, Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live. You and I, Sunday afternoon, coming right back after this. Back with you, Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. Again, Sunday, November 2nd. Happy Sunday. Happy for those in the United States, and in most of the United States. Happy Daylight Savings Time. We fell back. Something like that. Fall back, spring ahead. I'm 47. You think I should know this by now. But yeah, we had an extra hour sleep. I actually woke up today here in the East Coast. There was sunshine outside. It was very nice. And all that good stuff. Hope you had a great Halloween weekend. Hopefully it was safe. If you have kids, hopefully they got all the candy they would want. And for those parents, you have the dad tax, the mom tax, right? Even the uncle tax, whatever it takes. Get some of that candy from those kids and some of your favorites. My daughter did not, unfortunately. She had two loads of candy, but, you know, some good stuff there, but not some of my favorites, like Crackle. I love Crackles. You know, I guess Nestle Crunch is kind of similar, but you know what I mean? There's some that you just love from your childhood. But I did try, and I swear I'll get to pro wrestling talk in just a minute. I did try Oreo peanut butter, Oreo Reese's. My God, those are delicious. So get that. And also the special guests I'm talking about, my intro, I got too excited talking about all the other stuff. Mike Cashflow Walden from Tulsa King. Mike is a pro wrestler, of course, been a pro wrestler for a long time. IWA, Mid-South, OVW. Cashflow is his wrestling name. Saw him on The Wrestlers probably on Netflix. So he and I talked about Tulsa King. He's on that show, plays Bigfoot. So we talked for about 10, 12 minutes or so. So we'll chat about that in a little bit. We'll catch up with Mike. It's a good interview. I think you guys enjoyed. Let's talk about Saturday Night's main event. Enough Oreo Reese's talk and all the like. So just under 2 hours, the show was on Peacock. It was an exclusive Peacock show. Of course, all the machinations and all the things that took to get WWE PLEs to ESPN early. And then, so what does Peacock get? Well, they took Saturday Night's main event off NBC, the broadcast network, very unusual, and just Peacock as well. So I heard Brian Alvarez made the point that seemed this was more like a traditional PLE than the past Saturday Night's main events, and that made sense. There's no real commercial breaks or anything like that. I mean, there was, but not in the traditional broadcast TV sense. Show came in just under 2 hours. So I'm just thinking. So this took place in Salt Lake City, Utah. And so out there, so it is mountain time. So yeah, the show started at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and then basically was over by 7:30-ish. That's crazy. And they did not get a full house for this. Not saying WWE is on the way down, but I think the look, I think the wrestling industry is got to pay attention to some things. It could be the ticket prices. I'm not sure what the gate was on this. It also could be a case of there's just a lot of product out there when it comes to TV, and there's a lot of product when it comes to in arena, you know, with in all this, and there's just a lot of options. But I think there's so much on TV. Every sport is running into this. It is hard to get people out and about, and I think maybe that was the case here. It wasn't a terrible crowd by any means, but just one of those things I think you get to watch in 2026. A look ahead to next year already. So the show, it was a couple notes. I'm not going to go over like beat by beat. You can hear that on other recap shows at this point. It's been almost 24 hours since the show happened. But the intro is funny because they did this kind of retro thing where they showed, you know, this roller skating rink and back in the 80s and kids gather around the TV when Saturday Night's Main Event debuted. The show debuted at 11:30 at night Eastern. So perhaps these kids were in California. Maybe that was the thing, or maybe Utah or something like that. It was just funny to see kids huddled around a TV at a roller rink at for me, would have been 11:30 at night. So I thought that was funny. You had the early start time. I did have one question. So we talked about CM Punk. CM Punk won the WWE World Heavyweight title, defeating Jey Uso in the main event of the night. No angles really on this show. Little character things here and there with Cody and maybe after, you know, Jey Uso after losing on Afterwards posted an Instagram story with a middle finger emoji there's a picture of him watching Punk hold the title and saying y'all won or something to that effect. So perhaps there's a heel turn coming for the Usos. We don't know. There's some speculation. Is Punk going to turn or is anyone going to turn? But no one did. No real angles on this show. Where's AJ Lee? So the reason I thought about AJ Lee was that I saw her on Instagram post a picture of her and the dog Larry watching CM Punk. I'm like, she's not there? What's she doing? And I was reminded in my own head that she wrestled last month, the whole thing with Becky Lynch, and I guess we're not going back to that. If we are, it's going to be maybe Mania or maybe another big show. I don't know. That just kind of went away, and that's kind of a bummer. And I guess we'll kind of see when that picks up again. So let's see what else. We had the Cody Drew McIntyre match opening up the show. Has any title changed in recent times with this count out DQ rule? We just saw this with Hangman and Adam Page, or so Hangman and MJF rather, in AEW in this year. Right? I can't remember which paper it was, but there was the same thing. This is just the whole like lead in to the whole contract thing. If you remember that, I'm just going to cash in the contract, not going to cash in the contract. It was this summer. Shows how memorable it was. And to me, this stipulation only matters if somebody's going to actually like lose the title because of it. This could have happened a while ago, but I don't remember it. It just feels like something to do. And it made me think of this thing. I was just kind of like, jotting down notes from the show. And rematches, no matter what group you're in, rematches that need stipulations like this is really like the fact that two guys in there are having a feud that isn't interesting enough on its own. And that kind of stuck with me when I wrote it. Because you see this in AEW a lot. I talked about this on my podcast this week and well in the week ahead. When you have Hangman Page and Samoa Joe, and then this one with Cody and Drew, like it needed this type of stip, but it just meant that people did not want to see these guys go out enough, or at least WWE didn't think that people wanted to see this match enough as is to then just proceed as is and just have a rematch between two heated rivals. And that's kind of where we're at in wrestling these days. It's kind of sad. Cody Rhodes picked up the win. Of course, being a little bit nefarious in doing so, there was that weird, you know, corner slip. We jumped up. Was it an accident? It was kind of a part of the story. You know, we'll find out, I'm sure, at some point. Maybe we won't. Maybe it's part of the work. But yeah, I can see it being maybe just a little bit of an accident and Cody playing off like his knee was hurt again because he did the same stipulation, or sorry, the same spot in the match after with Tiffany and Jade. So, you know, you can maybe think it was just an accident, just kind of in the moment, I got to play something off. I think getting ahead of this babyface turn and, you know, with a belt shot, they're trying to, when I say the babyface turn, like turning against the babyface, and people are like, ah, it's kind of Cody thing's kind of boring. Are they doing this? Other thought coming out of this, hopefully no more Drew McIntyre for a little bit, or no more of this feud. It feels like it could continue, but I don't know. I think we're good. We need some new fresh blood, some new challengers, and some new interesting stuff, which probably means Brock Lesnar or someone like that. But you need, it's time to start elevating some more people to that top level. Jade Cargill hardly broke a sweat in winning the WWE Women's title, her first major world title. Of course, she was the TBS champion way back in the day with AEW. But she finally has her first singles major world title with the WWE Women's title. And we'll see where we go from here. And this was pretty much a squash playing off the knee injury. And she's got the look. She's always had it. It's just in I think the WWE fan base, a good portion of them, they're willing to accept that she may not be great in the ring, but they don't care. It's all character development and all that. So, you know, in ring, we'll have to see how things go and how this title reign goes. It's always the pursuit is always more interesting than the reign in a lot of cases. And we'll see if Jade can hold up. And of course, we had the Intercontinental Championship on the line. Dominic Mysterio defending against Penta and Rusev. Match kind of existed, you know, filler. Nothing really doing here. Dom picking up the win. Very innovative, kind of fun heel spots with him ringing the bell, distracting Penta. The hammer for the bell got involved in the match, of course. And at the end, frog splash pin. And also, why are three ways no DQ? What a terrible, terrible rule. Needs to be changed at some point. We'll talk more about the rest of the cards, CM Punk's title win, AEW Collision, great main event, and all kinds of other wrestling news as well. Wrestling Observer Live, Josh Nason, coming right back after this. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live, back with you on Sunday, November 2nd. Let's finish up with Saturday night's main event, move on to some Collision. And yeah, so we had the announcement of the John Cena tournament, and the John Cena tournament being 16 men going at it to compete for to be John Cena's last opponent at Saturday night's main event in December. We knew this going in, or at least we'd heard about this because our Dave Meltzer got it right. He reported this, that there was going to be a tournament planned. And at one point he had reported that Gunther, depending on how you pronounce it, is going to be the guy that's going to win this tournament. They didn't announce the brackets or anything like that. And of course, you know, some of the buzz is, you know, Cena saying it's going to be guys from Raw, from SmackDown, from NXT, and even people who don't work here. And it's like, people are like, what does that mean? I assume this means TNA, like Joe Hendry, right? They really want this Joe Hendry thing to work. Joe Hendry has tried to manifest the John Cena match. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think they're going to lean into a little bit and having him in this tournament, which 16 guys have a little bit of fun with it. I mean, it'd be great if they had Mike Santana in this, you know, but I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen. These matches, of course, are going to take place on Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, from what I understand, or at least that's kind of how the thing was presented. So I don't see, I mean, Hendry, I guess, could be on a SmackDown or Raw doing this, but I'm going to guess they're going to do it on NXT and do some sort of thing there. But help, you know, we'll see when the brackets are going to be announced. They're actually going to kick off a week from Monday in Boston, Massachusetts. And of course, they always bill us as Cena's hometown. It is not. He's from West Newbury, which is about 45 minutes to an hour north, give or take, probably about 45 minutes. So it's kind of funny there, but his home region, put it that way. And right in my neck of the woods as well. And then, of course, we had CM Punk versus Jey Uso. The whole presentation from start to finish, from video to end, took about 33 minutes. And, you know, typical, you know, WWE style main event match with a lot of finisher at the end. No ref bumps in this. There, of course, were in the opening bout between Cody and Drew. And yeah, at the end, Punk picking up his victory, his first world title since, of course, winning and losing it at SummerSlam in about a matter of 5 minutes. How this whole plan changed with Seth Rollins' injury, we'll never know. But CM Punk is the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, and we'll see how this reign goes. We'll see who his challengers are. The Usos is going to turn heel. There's a little bit more here. I assume we'll see the LA Knight match at some point. And yeah, we'll see how these things go and see how Punk is a champion. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the picture. Large caps. The picture, which was Cody Rhodes. It might have been CM Punk sharing it, but it was Cody Rhodes with his title belt. CM Punk with his title belt. Jade with her title belt. And Ricky Starks, with his NXT title, just happened to be in attendance and shared a picture with all the champions there. And, of course, it's got a lot of conjecture. Depending on what side of the aisle you're on, of course, you had to have an angle. You had to have some sort of say in it, right? Did Tony Khan fumble by losing all these people? Saw a few people be like, WWE has this, and Cody and AEW has the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. Who won? I saw that a lot. Then I saw the mindset philosophy of, well, these people were all elite, and that's how they got to this point. It's very all elite group of champions. I saw that quite a bit. And then someone shared another picture, which included Ethan Page, who is the North American champion, of course, also NXT. And then we also had Blake Monroe, who is the women's NXT North American champion, of course, the former Mariah May in AEW. So what does this all mean? You know, it means this, that we're talking about it. That's what it means. It means we're talking about it. I'm talking about it right now. Thought about it last night. A lot of people talked about it last night. And this is all playing the game. This is wrestlers now are kind of leaning into this very heavily. They love this type of stuff. They love the chatter. They love the talk like this. They don't like some of the stuff, but some of these things, you know, if they ever talk about not liking tribalism, you know, some of the picture people in the picture, you know, point to reasons like this where they kind of do. But I think it means this, that they got a good shot in AEW. They all had their chance. Jade, that was her first kind. That was her first first dance, so to speak. Her first opportunity in AEW. She learned a lot. Would she be here with that? I have no idea. You know, probably not, or at least at this level. Cody, you know, Cody went out on his own. We've heard the story 3 billion times. You know, making his own, leaving WWE, Ring of Honor, Japan, New Bucks, all that, New Bucks, the Young Bucks, the new promotion, all those type of stuff. All those type of things, rather. He got his chance in AEW, helped co-found the company, something went wrong, and now he's here. Would he have been there without all this? It's hard to imagine in that way, given how he is presented in AEW. Could he come fresh off of his Ring of Honor run or something like that? I mean, it is possible. It just doesn't seem probable. CM Punk would have been big going back no matter what. Obviously a little bit bigger, I think, under the circumstances because they were able to use it as a almost like a consoling moment for the WWE fans and CM Punk. Like, they didn't want you, we'll take you back. And he made this big surprise appearance, and it just felt like a shift. And Ricky Starks, look, Ricky Starks, there, I mean, he got sent to Guantanamo Bay for, I don't want to say any good reason, but it was just, he certainly got talent, and they certainly could have used him. And but this is kind of what Tony Khan does. He puts people on ice for extended periods of time. That's why no one should think that Britt Baker's coming back. It's probably why no one should think that Chris Jericho's coming back. It's just these long absences always lead to the end. Unless it's an injury, it rarely means someone's coming back. So that's the picture. You can make of that what you will. What are your opinions? You can share them with me if you want to. Josh Nason on Twitter, X, or Blue Sky, or not. Or just the things about the show as well. Maybe you're tired of this stuff, as I am. We'll talk about another picture in a little bit. Collision. Fun, very great main event between Bandido and Máscara Dorada. Of course, this show, Saturday Night's main event, started at 7 Eastern, which is it's unusual for them. Usually they start at 8 in the window there for NBC. Of course, that's not happening anymore. So this show didn't really go head-to-head other than like an hour. So the CM Punk title match went head-to-head with whatever ended that first hour or so. So the Bandido Máscara Dorada match was competition free in terms of that. Of course, everyone got crushed by Game 7 of the World Series, which I also had on as well and was watching inside while I'm trying to watch all this. My heart goes out to my Canadian friends. We have a lot of them that work for our website. I think we have maybe 5 people that are from the Toronto area. And we've had to fill in and do some things when there's games on or so on and so forth. I mean, I've been there, done that. I'm a Red Sox fan. I get it. So yeah, shout out to them. I feel awful for them. And yeah, and of course, John Pollock, you know, all our great Canadian journalists and wrestling fans and all that stuff. So my thoughts are with them today. Brutal, brutal loss. So Collision, the title match was great. Of course, this was taped Wednesday. So anyone that's kind of like internet friendly in the bubble knows what happened anyway. But that didn't stop this from being a really fun match, which is a lot of people expected. It cemented for me a couple things. One, that any luchador, like Hologram, I think does not have a chance in hell of making an impact on the AEW roster. I say that because you look at guys like Máscara de Ra, they can just bring it from CMLL, who's just so much better, so much more spectacular. And it's like, well, why do I care about this person who's, you know, he's good, but he's not that. And that's going to be an issue when you try to create your own luchador, that type of star, versus just using your partners, right? And Máscara de Ra seems like he's going to be around for quite some time. Where is he going to be? I would assume if he eventually jumps and decides to go to the States full-time, AEW seems like a good place to go. However, I mean, we thought about that, about Stephanie Vaquer, and look there. All depends what his hopes and dreams are and all that. But yeah, this was a really great match and worth checking out. And what also submitted for me is that Bandido he's up next. And I don't know how they work this out where it's not an awkward split from Brody King. Could he do both? Possible. The Ring of Honor title doesn't mean that much to me at this stage. What means a lot more is he's got to get in the mix in the upper tier for AEW. He's got to be in that world title mix. I think that starts with him being in the Continental Classic this year. I think he needs to have a deep run. And I think they really need to establish their upper tier with this new group. If Kenny Omega is going to be kind of this we don't know type of thing, when is he going to be in? Is he going to be out? Injured? All this. And Ospreay is going to be out for quite some time. We don't know when he's going to come back. Is he going to be able to come back? I think we all assume he will. Swerve's in that group. He's hurt right now. But I think in this next year, really in this next 6 to 8 months, Bandido and Konosuke Takeshita are next in that mix. And the upper tier have to be treated like upper tier guys. He's healthy and he's putting on great matches. People are into him. And it's time to kick it up another level and be like, you know, let's give the Ring of Honor title to somebody else. And let's start to really kind of build something here. They have their chance. So let's do it. We also had Blood and Guts. We had two announcements for Blood and Guts, if you missed them. Of course, again, a lot going on last night. So we have both the men's and women's participants announced. In the women's side, that was kind of the big reveal last night. Mercedes Moné, Megan Bain, Maria Shafir, Tekla, Julia Hart, and Sky Blue will go against Chris Statlander, Tony Storm, Harley Cameron, Jamie Hayter, Queen Aminata, and Willow Nightingale. That seems to be, I assumed Storm was going to be involved. I'm not surprised Moné is involved. Again, kind of checking off these things on the box of first ever. So first ever women's Blood and Guts, of course she was going to be in there. So that should be pretty good. So for the first time, they're doing this on two matches in two nights. We'll get to that actually after the break, so I'm right up against it. Men's Blood and Guts, maybe some Full Gear stuff, an interview with Cashflow Mike Walden from Tulsa King coming up in just a few minutes. Wrestling Observer Live, come right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason back with you. 1 hour today, not my usual 2 hours when I sub in, but you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles. Filling in for Andrew Zirin. I can't believe I just said that's how the cookie crumbles. What an old-timey saying. I haven't got Werther's original. What am I doing? We're going to talk to Mike Walden, a.k.a. Cashflow, a.k.a. Bigfoot, from the show, the hit show Tulsa King, coming up in just a minute. And let's just wrap up with a Collision, then we'll get to that interview with Big Mike. So the men's Blood and Guts, we kind of knew this the other day. Cassidy, Kyle O'Reilly, Mark Briscoe, Roderick Strong, and Darby Allin against Jon Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, Wheeler Yuta, Danny Garcia, and Pac of the Death Riders. That should be violent. I assume that's going to be the headliner at the women's match. We'll open the show. So yeah, it's the Blood and Guts, the men's match, we kind of know what to expect. The women's match, of course, new. I assume, how are they going to make things different? That's the agents and Tony Khan. How are they going to make these distinctively different so it doesn't feel like one long match between them? Is it going to be, how they feel different? And what else is going to be on the show? Excuse me. There's going to be a lot of people tuned in, as there usually are. Expect the attendance to be pretty good. We're 2 weeks out, about 10 days out, I believe. Attendance is usually good. I have been in the house for one of these when it came to Boston. It's a fun spectacle. TD Garden, there were a lot of people in there that night. So we'll see kind of what they do. Maybe they could do a, remember they did the Royal Rampage with the two rings for a future world title shot. I wonder if they're going to do that on this show. 2 hours, two big matches, maybe just add a third, get a bunch of people in there and just kind of go all out, you know, pun fully intended there. So we'll see what happens. And for Full Gear, was there really any Full Gear stuff from last night? I think, you know, a lot of it was, we had this thing about rematches. We're having the Young Bucks, this thing with the money. Kenny Omega and Jurassic Express taking on the Young Bucks and Josh Alexander in a trios match for a $1 million cash prize. So it's a match with fake money on the line. And I feel like we've seen that before, but I don't know. It just that really does not do much for me. And then we have a Hangman Page team with Hook and Eddie Kingston against the Ops coming up on Wednesday. That should be good. Mike Della Camera, a AEW columnist for our website, and I and a podcast that'll come up Monday on WrestlingObserver.com. Josh Nason's Punch Out. He and I talk about Eddie Kingston and all kinds of other AEW stuff as well. So if you're into that stuff, check that out. So right now, let's kick it to my interview with the one and only Cashflow, Mike Walden of Tulsa King, Bigfoot, and talk about a little bit of everything. Tell people, my guest has been a pro wrestler for nearly 30 years.
Absolutely.
In the rings of OVW, IWA, Mid-South, various indies, and even in match in AEW. However, he's getting even more known as the character Bigfoot in the smash hit Tulsa King on Paramount Plus, which just kicked off its third season. I'm a huge fan. Welcome the one and only Mike Cashflow Walden. Mike, as you mentioned.
Hey, Josh. Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
This is, I've been wanting to do this for a while because I love Tulsa King. And when I saw you in season two, I was like, wow, I know that guy. And it's always great to see someone that talks to pro wrestlers and stuff all the time, especially ones that are doing big things in acting and other things. It's great to talk to someone such as yourself. So congratulations on the success so far.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, Josh. It's like I said, it's been a whirlwind. I mean, how can you not have fun? You know, one of the biggest shows in the world right now. It's amazing, man.
It's huge. It's huge. I saw a picture that you posted on Instagram in May. It was yourself, Frank Grillo, and Chris Caldovino. And you said, this picture's worth 1,000 words. Opportunities come when you least expect it. When you get a chance to listen, you shut your mouth and you learn from someone who is where you want to be. And I read that and I kept thinking about the wrestling business, right?
Absolutely. And
you know, so many young kids come in. You were a young kid yourself once when you started, you know, more than 30 years ago. Do you Absolutely. See a lot of the same parallels between getting started in wrestling, kind of getting started in acting, especially being around those who have done it so much longer and have so much more experience?
There are more parallels than I can even talk about, you know, and the industries are, they're almost the same industries, you know. You have different products or whatever, but you do the same things, you know. When I put that post out, you know, what I meant by opportunities, you know, this wasn't, you know, something that was happening on camera. This was something where, you know, Frank Grillo and Chris Caldovino was chatting back and forth about the industry. And I had the opportunity to be there because of where we were at, you know, shooting wise. And you know, what you don't see, though, you don't see Garrett Hedlund behind us, you know, taking the picture or whatever. But
yeah.
You know, I was just sitting, you know, and I wasn't saying nothing, and I was just listening to those guys. And, you know, I look at that picture a lot, and you know, I think about, and when I wrote that, you know, it took me back to what Al Snow teaches his kids at OVW. You know, you shut up and listen, and the only way you're going to learn is from people that are where you want to be. You know, everybody and their mother wants to try and teach, you know, wrestling is sometimes a big money grab, but to truly get where, you know, to get where you want to go, you know, you need to learn from somebody that's been there and not somebody that thinks that they've been there or haven't been there.
Exactly. So you started on season two, season three just kicked off a couple of weeks ago, as you and I are talking. How'd this opportunity come to be?
It kind of stemmed from the Netflix, the wrestlers show on Netflix. It kind of stemmed from that. You know, I think I was seen while we were shooting that when it aired. And I got an email to my agent, got an email, you know, wanting to know if I wanted to read for this role. Well, I read for the role and I, you know, they happened to cast me and, you know, I ended up getting a phone call from Sly and, you know, he, you know, as surreal as it may be, you know, he told me, he said, you know, I'd like for you to be in this role, you know, and, you know, I got the part and, you know, my first scene was with him. So, I mean, it was an amazing opportunity. And, you know, I had been going out for a few roles here and there and, you know, I went out for the role and I got it, you know?
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about that, that moment that he called you, the first moment you met him. I mean, it's gonna be so surreal. So you and I are only a couple of years different in age. And I remember, you know, the '80s and nineties, I mean, he still stayed consistent, but just the movies of our childhood, the action movies, and you're talking to this guy on the phone, you're meeting this guy in person. That must be just kind of this surreal moment. Just like, what has my life come to? I'm here in this moment. It's pretty great.
It was very surreal because, you know, it was even more so surreal for me because I was an overweight kid. All right. I was hugely overweight. And in order for me to play sports in high school, I had to lose some weight. Well, around that time, there had been a big break in between Rocky III and Rocky IV. And in the summer or just before the summer of me getting into high school or around that area, Rocky IV had come out, and then watching that movie was the motivation for 3 or 4 years of a fitness journey of mine. I can't tell you how many times I watched that movie because of the score, you know, the motivational stuff that that movie is just all about, why he's training to go fight Drago. So, yeah, I mean, it was a huge, you know, it was one thing just what is going on here. So,
yeah. Has he given you any advice that stuck with you?
Every time I'm around him, he gives me something that sticks with me. You know, whether it be, you know, fitness stuff or how to approach, you know, a scene, or, you know, he gives me advice, you know, whenever I'm around. Like I said, he's very, very generous with the way he helps and his mentorship. And, you know, I, for one, appreciate it. You know, it's amazing. Like I said, he's forgotten more than I'll ever know.
So obviously this is part of the bigger Sheridan verse, Taylor Sheridan, kind of a successful guy, you know, with all these shows on Paramount Plus and all over the place. So he has been known, Taylor Sheridan has been known to cast actors on his shows, but also in different parts as well in different shows. Have you read for any other parts of his? Has that been of talk? Anything you could tell us or?
There's not really anything I can tell you.
Okay.
You know, now I will say this, it would be an amazing opportunity, you know, to be able to, you know, do some of that other stuff. I mean, I definitely wouldn't count that out right now. You know, Tulsa King is my baby, you know, it's huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now I'm concentrating on, you know, I gotta protect Dwight Manfredi. So that's about what I'm
talking about now. Do you find you're getting recognized more now? Because obviously there's wrestlers that get recognized in the airport test. You know, you always talk about pro wrestling. But now, I mean, the show is so huge. And it is like, I think it probably even surprised a lot of people at Paramount just how big it was. Because it's a drama, but it's also funny. It has heart in it and everything. Do you find yourself getting recognized a lot more in random places?
Absolutely. And you know, it's funny. And I was talking about this because I went into to the arena at OVW the other night to help the kids with their training and the class and whatnot. And all they're doing is calling me Bigfoot, you know, for 30 years, it was cash this, cash that, cash this. And now it's all Bigfoot, you know, it's huge. Tulsa King has kind of blown up. You know, like it's kind of blown up me going to the grocery store and, you know, especially in this area where I'm at, I can't go anywhere. It's hard for me to go to the gym. I have to pick odd times to go to the gym now. And I can't keep it the same, you know, it's just, it's huge. And yes, it's caused me to rethink my patterns. You know, I'm a creature of habit. So, you know, I constantly have to rethink my patterns these days. That's for sure.
What, I know you have a family. What has your family thought about this overnight success that's been 30 years in the making, right?
You know, Scott, you know who Scotty D'Amore is, right?
Oh, of course, yeah.
That's what he said to me the first message he got. He was like, man, he said, you're the only guy that's took 28 years to be an overnight success. I'm like, gosh, Scott, I don't know how to take that, man. Gosh.
Yeah.
But see, this is what I signed up for. I signed up for the notoriety and but my family didn't, you know. So it's important for me to create those boundaries as much as I can. And I think we've done a good job of it. You know, they're excited to see what comes, you know, that it's nothing but excitement around here. And, you know, we consider ourselves pretty blessed.
Yeah. Final questions. Are you done wrestling? Now you're obviously involved with OVW, as you mentioned, helping out and doing some training. Do you consider yourself an actor, always a wrestling first? Are you really looking to be like, I think it's time to make the shift to acting full time, you know, move to Los Angeles, drink the lattes, do everything they do out there. What do you think? Like, what's next for you? What's going on next couple of years or so?
You know, I'm not a big latte guy, you know, as far as LA goes, who knows? You know, the shift, I'll go both ways. All really, in all honesty, I'm not going to jeopardize any of the opportunities that the myriad of folks at 101 Studios and Paramount and Sly, they have given me. So I'm not going to jeopardize any of those opportunities by going out and doing something stupid. Now, as far as wrestling, you know, there's a lot more in wrestling besides in-ring stuff. You know, there's appearances and I'm going to continue, you know, wrestling fans, let's be honest, they're the ones that got me here. Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna usurp that. You know, if wrestling fans want to see me at a wrestling show, there's huge probabilities, as long as the business is right, that yeah. I will be there. You know, just because, like I said, you know, wrestling fans are kind of what got me where I'm at. So
yeah, well, it's been a great place to get where you're at, and looking forward to seeing what the rest of the journey is. You're just getting started. Again, a 28-year overnight success, as Scott put it. But yeah, you got a lot more decades ahead. I'm looking forward to it. Mike Walden, thanks so much for taking the time. Big thanks to Mike Cashflow Walden. Check Tulsa King out on Paramount Plus. When we come back, we'll wrap things up and we'll look at the week ahead. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason. Come right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason, wrapping things up on a Sunday. One quick item before we get to the week ahead. The big WrestleMania 47. Which one is it? The next one coming up in Vegas in April. The ad that got all the people talking is Triple H is so prominently figured and into the creative. And I also thought the same thing before I heard any of the other conjecture or anything. I thought, wow, why is he in all this stuff? But he's the next UFC's Dana White, but that could play against him at some point. It just made me, I was looking around that table and that picture and talking about young stars and all this stuff. People in that ad: Cody Rhodes, 40. Paul Levesque, 56. Paul Heyman, 60. Roman Reigns, 40. CM Punk, 47. Brock Lesnar, 48. Never forget it, friends. In wrestling, and old guys rule these days. They might have a column come out and all that stuff, because it's not just WWE. And not a bad thing, but I think if you're a young guy or a young woman, it might be a little tough thing. But yeah, there's a lot of older folk in that. Look at the week ahead real quick. Raw coming up on Monday, NXT on Tuesday, Dynamite Wednesday, TNA Impact coming up on, actually not Impact, on Thursday, because they are doing this. Why did they take a month off after their biggest show of the year, taking a month off? So it's a open fight night. I think it's just old matches or something like that. SmackDown on Friday. And of course, we have AEW Collision live on Saturday, and then nothing really going on. Maybe some, you know, New Japan shows or things like that. But of course, we had just a big one last night. Looks like we may have another Takeshita belt collector type thing. Seems to be all the rage in pro wrestling. But yeah, we'll have the follow-up from Saturday night's main event. Of course, we'll have the build to Blood and Guts, which will take place next Wednesday. That'll be kind of the last show before that. Of course, Collision. So a lot to be developed for the weeks ahead, and we'll be with you here to talk about it on Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Andrew Zarian for letting me fill in. Hope you guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you again soon. This has been Wrestling Observer Live.